Now I face out, I hold out, I return to the truth of my life, seeking the seas on the whole moment to now break away. Oh God, let me out, can you let me out, can you set me free from being stuck in the world, save me the last bit in the
Welcome to a brand new episode of the Social Link podcast. This is Alex.
This is Anthony.
Oh my god, you still have the shitty microphone again. What gives?
Well, I explained it in the introduction to last week's episode.
Yes, you did. You did. It still doesn't sound good. It sounds like...
Well, I test recorded the rant. Did you listen to my rant yet?
Not yet.
Okay, it sounds decent, a little bit decent, thanks to Moo.
Well,
it records an MP3 and shit like that.
Well, hopefully, like, you know, for this episode and stuff, I think it should be a little bit, you know, like, clearer. Because, I mean, if you're recording on your end and it was clear, maybe I can do some podcast magicry and, you know, merge it properly and stuff. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see if that works out.
But, indeed.
But how are you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
Oh, well, I don't know. I mean, elated, excited, very happy.
Why is that?
I got rid of my Wii U today.
Why?
Wow, that was, you let out a whimper there. You're like, why? Yeah. Why? And not only that, I also got rid of my 3DS.
Why? That's
And I got rid of one of my PSPs.
Okay.
Wow, okay. Nothing for the PSP, huh? No remorse for the PSP 3000.
Okay. Yeah, just an okay.
Wow, yeah, wow. Okay. So, ask me why.
Why the Wii U and the 3DS was messed up, I think, or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, in case, like, the GameStop people are, like, freaking listening, don't tell them that! It is in perfect working condition. Besides, it's a Zelda one. It's limited edition.
Okay, gotcha. This is limited edition. And why did you get rid of the Wii U? Let's go there.
Well, think about it. What games are coming out this year for the Wii U?
Mario Kart and Smash Brothers. I'm down with that.
Not interested in either.
I know you're not.
Yeah. No Zelda. And really, okay. I'm not interested in Bayonetta 2. And sure as hell, I'm not interested in the wonderful 101. Sure as hell, not interested in Pikmin 3. So mm-hmm. So it made me think, why the hell do I have a system where I only have, like, maybe two games on it?
Hmm.
Why?
I don't know.
Yeah, why?
Well, here's the thing. It's not appealing to you, and I can understand that. So, for me, I like my Wii U for classic gaming and some Mario Brothers, and yeah, I'm going to keep mine, but I can understand why you don't like it.
But check this out. If you traded in your Wii U for some reason... All the games they bought digitally, gone forever.
Yep, not gonna happen.
That's kind of like what kind of, you know, made me really pissed off, because I kind of need this money, you know? Like, right now, the Wii U was collecting dust. Literally collecting dust. Like, right. You know, like, it got to a point where my roommate was like, aren't you gonna dust it, like, before you trade it in? I'm like, nope. it shows you, like, how just useless this platform is. And you know, just realizing and researching about, like, how terrible the DRM is for Nintendo side makes me realize that they're just not ready for any sort of future competition. Yes, they can separate themselves from everybody else, but they are not in a bubble. They right. really aren't. There's a reason why the friggin' company is, like, losing, like, millions of dollars, billions of yen. And they just don't want to acknowledge it. And until that time comes, which I don't think it's going to happen within the next 2 or 3 years, or even up until the next generation, I am out. I am totally out. The Wii U, fuck you. Get the fuck out of my apartment. No
way.
Well,
here's my thing. I'm going to be the Nintendo guy from here on out on this podcast, because I still... Look, to me, Nintendo still puts out a quality product in their game.
I don't give a shit. It's the same fucking thing I played last generation.
Right, I understand that, but let me explain. I'm not trying to convince you, because I know I won't change your fucking mind, because I know you far too well. And I understand your reasoning. But let me put it this way, okay? I like what Nintendo puts out. I love my 3DS. I love my Wii U, actually, I'll say. There's some fun stuff. I like playing classic games. There's enough for me. But if it doesn't appeal to you, sell your fucking console. There's nothing wrong with that.
When was the last time you touched your Wii U?
Actually, yesterday.
That's a miracle.
Yeah. I play a lot of old school games, though. That's what a lot of... Look, here's the thing I love about the Wii U and the Wii. And I play a lot of old school stuff. I know that's not, you know, you'll play it occasionally, but you're not as big as an old school gamer as I am. So, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, I like it. You know, I was playing, what was I playing? I was playing some Mega Man X on my big screen. I love it. I love it, love it, love it. So that's just me.
I get that. But imagine, but think about the volatility of those games.
Explain?
Unlike the PlayStation or the Xbox, you cannot re-download those games.
Right, I understand that.
So, like, let's say you run out of space on your Wii U, you're fucked. Because there is absolutely no fucking way you're going to be able to download any of those games again. Once you buy it once, that's it. It's over.
Mm-mm, that's not true.
Really?
No, that's not true. I bought one of the first games I got for my Wii U was Tekken Tag.
How about the Wii games?
The Wii, what do you mean Wii games?
Any of the Wii games console? That you bought. Virtual console, WiiWare.
Virtual console. Yeah, I accidentally deleted Castlevania 4 and I was able to re-download that.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not lying.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
And we're talking about Wii, like, virtual console games.
Yeah.
How about your 3DS?
Yes, I've done that numerous times.
I don't know. That doesn't sound correct.
Look, no, I've done it. You gotta trust me on this. I've done it. I'll tell you another example. Okay, I've downloaded and deleted Mighty Switch Force a couple times from my 3DS.
Okay.
And I did that the same thing with Double Dragon a couple times.
Okay.
So I haven't had any issues with that.
How about on the Wii?
The Wii, let me think. I think I did that. Let's see, have I done? You know what I did? I'm remembering that. I remember with my first Wii, because I went through three Wiis, because I'm not a fan of the Wii at one point. I remember I did that with, what it was, that TurboGrafx game, Gates of Thunder. You know what I'm talking about? That shmup?
I don't know.
It's a shmup. It's a smut.
Bottom line, what you're telling me right now goes in contradiction to anything that I've seen on the internet about, like, re-downloading games.
I've done it. I don't know. Maybe it's something new. I haven't done it lately, but I've done it.
Yeah, you might be confusing it for, like, the other platforms. I don't know.
Okay. Well, whatever, but I'm happy with my Wii right now, so.
Well, enjoy not playing any new games on it.
I know. I enjoy my old school game. That's, you know what, that's, look, let me put it this way. For me, it's a value in that sense because I love old school shit.
So here's the thing. So why don't you play your old school shit on your Wii anyway because the games are the same?
Because I'm lazy. And not necessarily because,
so you paid $250 for a Wii U to play old games that you could play on the Wii, which you currently already have.
Well, could I play Earthbound, though? I couldn't have played Earthbound. And look, Earthbound fucking was never available, which still mind boggles the fuck out of me. But fuck, man, got Earthbound. Man, I'm not saying I paid it, and I mean, we're not just talking about the other Wii stuff. Look, I got an 8-year-old, okay? He plays the Wii U. He loves it. We play Super Mario 3D World. There's a lot of other value for me. Having a kid is a big value for me in that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I will argue that point. Because, you know, and then I will also say that what I do have, I know you're not a big fan of Super Mario, you know, new Super Mario Brothers Wii U, but I enjoy it. I enjoy 3D World. I enjoy Wind Waker HD. I enjoy, I've enjoyed Pikmin 3. I like those games. You don't, that's cool. But I'm not selling my Wii U, so I'm designated Nintendo guy from here on out.
Okay.
Sound good?
Yep.
And plus, I have the 3DS, so.
Sure.
Sure. So other than selling your 3DS, I mean Wii U and 3DS, why did you sell the PSP? Just out of curiosity.
Well, I have a PSP 2000. So, I mean, I actually have... Well, I used to have all three generations of a PSP. So,
okay.
I had sold the first one before, of course, GameStop stopped getting them. And then, you know, today I was like, well, shit, I have an extra PSP 3000. Let's fucking trade that in. So, I was like, all right. You didn't ask me, though, why I traded my 3DS.
Yeah, why did you sell your 3DS?
So, on this show... Anybody can quote me when I said that, you know, one point or multiple times that I feel that the 3DS is Nintendo's primary platform. I still strongly believe this.
I'll agree.
I feel that the 3DS has a stronger lineup of games than the Wii U could ever hope and imagine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
That being said, the 3DS that I have, well, apart from the fact that the little analog nub is broken... They don't know that. The people who bought it from me don't know that. It still moves. You know, it works, right? And of course, I bought some stuff on it. It's too small for me. I have big hands. You know, like, I mind you, I wasn't one of the guys who basically got the big, you know, like, Xbox controller and I enjoyed it. You know, that, and I don't have that big of a, pair of hands. I had big enough hands so that playing a 3DS is too fucking cramped. Way too cramped. You know? So, I am selling it temporarily because I am investing on something a lot bigger, on a lot better. You know? Not to say that I'm completely abandoning the 3DS. Not at all. I still have
all... Not like the Wii U.
Yeah, I sold all my Wii U games. I was like, fuck that. Because, I mean, you know, I looked at the games that I have on my Wii U versus the games that I have on my Wii and versus the games that I have on my 3DS. I'm like, yeah, 3DS is my primary Nintendo platform moving forward, you know? Okay. And, but again, it's too small. It's too cramped. I can't play any games on it. That being said, I do intend on getting an XL in the future.
XLs are nice. I recently purchased one.
I do, but the thing is, though, I don't just want to get a 3DS XL. I want to get the Pop-Tart one. The one that's basically, that comes with Animal Crossing.
Ah, gotcha.
Because that was a missed opportunity for me. I really like the design of that. Okay. You know? So, and I felt like, you know, I'm kind of an attention whore. I would like to have something like a 3DS XL that kind of stands out from everybody else. And the Pop-Tart colored... You know, like 3DS XL seems to appeal to my sensibilities, I suppose. You've seen that, right?
Yeah, I've seen it. I you know, for me, I like the blue one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm cool. But for you, yeah, the Pop-Tart one should suit you. I'm like,
what are you trying to say?
No.
That I'm a Pop-Tart?
Yeah, you are. No.
Don't be racist.
Oh, my bad. You tricked me into that one.
Yes, I did.
Indeed. Here's the deal. Let's talk about this for a second. I'm kind of a plain old guy. As long as it's not pink, I'm good. There you go.
The Pop-Tart is a little bit effeminate, but I like the clear white. Like, it has like a majority, you know, majority of it is like very clean, very white. You know, it's kind of sad that I didn't get the Assassin's Creed Liberation PS Vita, because if that's the case, it would have made all my portables, including my iPhone, all colored white. And I would have loved that. Because right now, all my home consoles are black. You know, even my Wii U that I sold.
Ah, you got the 32 gig.
Yeah, so color coordination, you know.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, I'm sad that I had to sell my 3DS, but the thing is, the analog nub was very difficult to control anyway, but I still have all my games. So when I do get my Pop-Tart 3DS XL, well, you know, I'm going to have fun, because I'm going to be like, yeah, now my hands won't be cramped. And I may sell, like, my code for, you know, Animal Crossing so that I can get, you know, I don't know, Bravely Default or something.
Which is a good game, and you will hear more about it in the next episode.
Oh, yes, definitely will. So, but I digress. You haven't asked me really why I sold all these games.
Yeah, why did you sell them? What's your intention? PS4 or something like that?
Yep.
You got a PS4?
Yes. So, okay. As of today, as of this recording, which we're recording this on March 20th, 2014, I am now a proud owner of a PlayStation 4.
Not very nice, very nice. Yeah. I won't get one till the fall, but
so check this out. So I gotta tell you this, because GameStop has this really fucking awesome deal right now. So, if you sell your Wii U, you get $90 store credit for it, but if you sell it towards a PS4, you get 50% more credit. So we're talking, they're going to tack $45 onto the $90 that you're going to trade that shit in.
Okay.
So that happened. And then when I traded in my 3DS, that was $50. So they tacked in another $25. And then my PSP, I traded it in for $30. And so they tacked on another $15 for it. And then I traded in the entire Mass Effect trilogy, which for some reason GameStop was only buying my Mass Effect 2 for 55 cents.
What?
Yeah, that was retarded. I had recently purchased the Mass Effect trilogy on PS3, so that's why I'm selling all those, in case people are like, oh my god, it's this game of the generation, he sold it. Nope, it's on my PS3 now, digitally.
Is it game of the generation, really, to you?
Yes.
You'd say Mass Effect is?
Mass Effect 1, yes.
Oh, Mass Effect 1, okay. Yeah.
Not the trilogy.
Not 2?
Not 2. Because they removed a lot of the RPG elements of it.
I gotcha, okay.
Yeah, one was a lot more involving. It has a deliberate pace. Anyways, so basically, I traded in a bunch of games too. Like, I traded in two of my six-axis controllers. We're talking Gen 1 six-axis. The ones with a shitty, like, you know, Bluetooth, you know, connections, and it would go haywire from time to time. Those were like $8 each. When I was like, wow,
With no DualShock?
No rumble. No vibration. So I was like, all right, cool. You know, and then, so, bottom line, I traded in a bunch of games. You know, they were buying back Mario for like $27. I'm like, all right, hell yeah. I'm not going to have a Wii U again. And it came down to about $313.57, which meant I got the PlayStation 4 for a measly, you know, a little bit over $100.
Very nice.
Yeah, so since I had enough money, I also prepaid and actually paid off Infamous Second Son, which is coming out tomorrow during this recording and stuff. So I am set. And as we're talking right now, 10 PlayStation 4 games are downloading on my PS4.
Nice. Yeah. Very nice, my friend.
Mm-hmm. So, Assassin's Creed 4... I got the PS3 version, and as you know, you can get like a voucher so you can upgrade to the PS4 version for only $10. So that's great.
Uh-huh.
All the PlayStation Plus stuff is, you know, obviously I downloaded it using the store, so that's all free for me. And all the free-to-play shooters that they have, which is Warframe and Blacklight Retribution. So, and of course there's the cross-buy stuff, like Flow and all that stuff. So, yeah, I have 10 PlayStation 4 games as soon as, like,
holy
I pop that
shit
in. Yeah, so what's going to happen to me if I buy, like, an Xbox One? Ooh, I have Titanfall. Great.
Ooh, you have Killer Instinct.
That's true, and it is a free-to-play game, but one character. I'm the kind of guy that if I get, like, you know, if I get, like, a fighting game, I want everybody, you know, so.
Oh, Ultra Combo!
Yeah.
I got you.
So, yeah, so that's why I was telling you over the phone. I'm like, there is no fucking way that my morale or anything is going to be lowered today because I set up my PS4. It's downloading shit right now. And I've already paired both my iPhone, my iPad to my PS4, so I can use those two devices for second screens. Thank you. And my Vita is perfectly connected to the PS4. I can literally remote play any PS4 game right now on my Vita.
Indeed, indeed.
Which is freaking awesome. Think about that. I can play Assassin's Creed 4 right now, once it's downloaded, on my Vita.
Holy shit.
Yeah, much better than the gamepad. Nintendo, by the way. Just saying.
I mean, you could use your finger, not a stylus.
What do you mean?
Just saying. Well, you know, you you know, the Wii U gamepad, you kind of need a stylus.
Yeah, it's so weird, but, you know, but either way, like, I'm a really happy camper for my purchase and stuff. Like, I'm finally joining the next gen, and then officially tomorrow I'll have my first true, like, disc-based, you know, game, like, for, you know, for that system. I'm really excited.
Well, here's this. You and I will have some interesting conversations in the next year. I'll be able to talk about Smash Brothers and Mario Kart 8, games that I enjoy, and you'll be talking about PlayStation 4, and then in the fall, I will get my PS4.
Yeah.
That's my plan.
I mean,
I'm going to wait. Here's the thing. I'm going to wait for Batman. Look, I'm a Batman fan. I have to buy that game. Hopefully, yeah, it'll be better than Arkham City, which is overrated in my opinion, but we'll see.
Speaking of which, did you hear about the news that Sony just announced that they're going to have a virtual reality headset for the PS4?
No, I did not.
Yes. That just happened this week at GDC.
Holy shit.
Yep. And a lot of people said it's pretty damn good. And they had a version of Thief running with the headset.
Well, that's not the peripheral I'm hoping for. I'm still waiting from Nintendo that fucking heartbeat shit that you put on your fingers.
That's dead. That's totally dead.
I know. I'm fucking talking.
Yeah, I know you're talking out of your ass at that point. Yeah.
Yeah, it's useless. But, I'm still waiting on the next Power Glove, for God's sakes. But here's the deal. I think that's a cool idea. I'll probably have to do some research.
Well, it's still in its preliminary stages. They're not really, you know, for mass production right now. They're literally just kind of, you know, they just kind of introduced it because it is a game developers conference, and they basically said, like, well, you know, this is what we can do, blah, 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 you know, hope you guys like it. They're still kind of fine-tuning it before they give it to developers, but that's really interesting to me that they're already, you know, looking forward to the next step, the next evolution of the PlayStation, while Microsoft is kind of, you know, playing catch-up with the sales, you know?
I hope the virtual reality demos are better than, the Kinect demos that we saw years ago.
Yeah.
Milo or...
Oh, it's a lot better. It's a lot better. It's a lot better. You should really take a look at it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. You're a next-gen guy.
Yeah, I'm currently in the next-gen, and you know what? That interface...
I am, too. I have a Wii U. Fuck you.
That interface on the PS4, slick as hell. Like, it is freaking beautiful. And I talked about this previously in other episodes. You're able... The trophy system is, like, 10 times better. Because now you can look at people... You can look at all your achievement or your trophies and see the rarity of it. For all on your PS3 and on your Vita. So you can kind of see, like, you know, how rare each of the trophies are. And, you know, you can now watch people play other games that you might not want, and kind of like see like whether you like it or not, you know, and you can interact with them in many ways. It's crazy. Like, I can watch, I don't even have to go on YouTube. I can just go on my PS4, go to live with PlayStation, pick a channel with somebody playing some game, watch him play it, and decide whether or not I want to buy the game. In fact, it'll even have a link probably that'll allow me to actually buy the game right then and there. That is crazy to me.
Very, very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we learned of Alex's adventures in getting a PS3. A sacrifice had to be made, but it was made.
A PS3?
PS4, I mean, excuse me.
Yeah.
PS4. Yeah.
Look, so needless to say, I am really enjoying my time with my PS4, even though I've yet to play a single game with it. But I can tell you this. You can download more than one item at the same time on the PS4. Not like the PS3 where it only downloads one at a time. And the download speeds, a lot faster.
Look, let me be honest. I'm a PlayStation guy. This past generation, 7th gen, was interesting. I was when Alex met me, I was very, what, Xbox 360, right?
Oh, absolutely. You were pro Xbox.
Yeah. And you can understand why, right? Back in those days.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. But, I once 2009 hit, there's this game that I didn't have that everyone bragged called Uncharted 2. Must get it. You must get it. Demon Souls, you must get it. You know, Valkyrie Chronicles, you must get it. Fucking get it. Well, I got it. And then, like, after I bought my PS3, I became a Sony guy again.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's weird, right? Like, just the difference.
Yeah, and I think we're living in a whole new, you know, I'm kind of happy Sony's on top again, you know? A little biased there, but I am. And yeah. I will be helping. Yeah. Go ahead.
It's interesting, right? Like, I mean, there is much trepidation, of course, after the whole Microsoft hoo-ha that Sony is after your money and stuff, but they seem to be on the nose as far as, like, you know, what gamers want. And that's always why I've always preferred Sony's brand over Microsoft's, you know?
Yeah. I mean, well, look at it this way. Why the fuck did Sony steal that thunder in the fucking, let's see, what gen? Was it fifth? Yeah, fifth gen days. Why? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, look what the PlayStation 1 did. You got to put that in perspective. The PlayStation 1 really was the mature gaming system at the time, gaming console.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look. I know there's a lot of people who love the N64. You know, that they'll hail it as the greatest system for a couple things: Mario 64, Ocarina of Time. That's fine and dandy. But to me, the PlayStation 1 had the overall better library of games.
Mm-hmm.
And that brand overrode Nintendo. That's when Nintendo lost its dominance because of Sony.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. I mean that you look at that PlayStation 1 library to this day, and it's, to me, one of the greatest libraries out there, next to the NES and next to the SNES library.
Right.
So
I honestly feel that the Wii U is this generation's Nintendo 64.
You know, here's the thing with Nintendo, and this is sad for me to say, but I'm going to be all honest. I said they produce quality product. That's true. But here's the thing with the Nintendo system to me these days, and this has been the case since possibly N64.
You might want to keep speaking up, because your microphone is so shitty right now that I can't even hear you.
Okay, how about this? Let me put it in perspective. Ever since the N64, Nintendo has been nothing but good for a secondary console, whereas they haven't been looked at as a primary console. It was either last gen, it was either having a PS3 or a 360 alongside a Wii. Remember that?
Yep.
So, there you go. Shitty Nintendo. Well, not shitty Nintendo. I don't hate them. I still support them. They still make products that I like, but
right.
What can you do?
Right. So, anyways, I know that this is supposed to be, like, what you've been playing, the segment. I think we should save that for the next episode, because, of course, there's a lot of excitement with the PS4 and the whole guessing game thing. I think we should just go right into our rant, shall we?
Yeah. Okay, so I ranted about something that can be applied not only to video games, but everything. And that's basically, there's this thing on the internet when people say that legitimately they have the unpopular opinion, and you get called a troll. So what I'm clarifying for you today, folks, is when you have the unpopular opinion, you're not the fucking troll. Wouldn't you agree, Alex?
I don't know. Let's listen to your rant before making any judgments or whatsoever.
Indeed, let's do it.
Something that always has bothered me about the internet, let me go into detail about that. And it's something about society as well, and it's prevalent in video game culture as well, comic book culture, geek culture in general. Well, let's talk about it on the internet first. I am a guy who tends to have the unpopular opinion. That's okay, because there's nothing wrong with having the popular opinion. Now, I'm also in the belief that you're not necessarily everyone's a sheep that follows the popular opinion. There are a lot of people who legitimately like a popular thing because they like it, you know? Because I generally like, say, Game of Thrones and Song of Ice and Fire, and I've liked it before it was popular, but that's beside the point. I still like it, and it's popular. There you go. But there are people who will just like it for what it is. Those people tend to get mad at the people that don't follow the crowd. Okay, I'm a guy that likes DC Comics. DC's pretty popular, but not as popular as Marvel. That's okay. But sometimes, there's those rare chances when you're on the internet, or even out there, when someone will state that they have an unpopular opinion. I like this, I like that.
And what is the common attack? You're a troll. You're a troll. How the fuck are you a troll? I don't know how the fuck you're a troll. Let me re-educate you guys on this, okay? What a troll is. A troll is someone that will go and cause malice. They will do a very disgusting joke. They will harass you. They will do that. But stating the unpopular opinion does not make you a troll. I have had on many occasions the unpopular opinion and have been called a troll. No, they call you that because they want you to be bullied. They're scared of your opinion. People who call you a troll for having the unpopular opinion necessarily mean that they're the ones insecure and you're not. Why? Because you have the goddamn fucking balls to go out and say that you have this opinion. They don't. They're scared. They're scared of what you have to say. So I see this commonly in video games. You say you like JRPGs. Well, I like my Call of Duty, bro. Or I like this. Western games are the best. Well, I like this. I like JRPGs. Here's the fucking deal, folks. Here's the motherfucking deal. Okay? You say you like JRPGs, you're not a troll. You say you like something not popular, you say you don't like it. You can say that you don't like. One of the biggest things I've seen is, I remember a thread many, many moons ago where someone said they didn't like Shadow of the Colossus. Oh my god. People went fucking ape shit. And that guy was called a troll. Someone even reported him for trolling. How is that trolling? And this guy gave an educated reason as to why he didn't like it. I personally disagree with him because I think, you know, I guess I'm following the crowd, I suppose. But I think Shadow of the Colossus is a masterpiece. But here's the deal, guys. You gotta look at it. It's okay if someone doesn't like what you don't like. Okay? It's okay. It's okay. As long as they don't make stupid comments, and I've seen many people make valid arguments on things that I don't like, and that's fine, I'll live with it. But those people are called trolls. What do? Well, in that case, if you have the unpopular opinion and you call the troll, you can leave that thread knowing that you have the balls and those people are a bunch of pussies.
Well, okay, so my whole thing with opinions is that it needs context. It needs to be part of a discussion, right?
Right.
When you're just blurting it out, like what you usually do on Facebook, it's like you're trying to egg somebody into giving a reaction for you. And
oh, I'm not talking about Facebook. Okay, I know I do that because it's just I just blurt things out. It's not to fucking egg it on. I just say what's on my mind. Here's what I'm talking about. Let me explain. I have seen, and it's not just for me. You have a forum, right? Let's go to the Shadow of Colossus example. Can I do that?
Sure.
That I mentioned in the rant. Okay. In that argument, I remember there was this thread, and it was on GameSpot forums when I used to go to the forums. This was like circa 2010. And they were talking about Shadow of the Colossus, and there was nothing but praise, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this guy goes on, and he writes this wall of text. And I read the whole wall of text. And he didn't like Shadow of Colossus. But he gave very valid reasons as to why he didn't like it. Did I agree with him? Fuck no, I didn't. But I can see why he didn't like it. But he gave valid reasons, and he was very polite, and he was very, very courteous to the opinion of others, correct?
Mm-hmm.
What happened to the poor bastard? You're a troll, you're trying to piss off people, get out of this fucking thread, you know, that type of shit. So that's what I'm talking about.
I see. Okay.
And okay, so that happens a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That happens a lot. That happens on Facebook. That happens on, you know, Twitter. Well, Twitter you can. Mm-hmm. On forums, that's what I'm talking about. So mm-hmm. I'm basically saying that even well, and I said this in the rant, well-formed opinions are attacked, okay? What I do on Facebook, I'm not defending what I do on Facebook. I'm a dickhead sometimes, and sometimes in a bad mood, I'll just say shit.
Right.
And Alex knows this.
Yeah.
You know? And that's just me blurting out shit, and that's what I'll always do. But I'm talking about legitimate, though they're legitimate opinion, but they're not really well developed. They're just me blurting. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes I'll get into arguments with Alex about it or somebody else and whatever, but that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm talking about well-formed opinions that I've seen tons of times. Even on my channel, this has happened.
Mm-hmm.
When people have disagreed with me, and some of my, I guess, fanboys, you could say, attack them.
Okay.
And they get pissed off. Mm-hmm. And I even defend those guys that don't agree. I'm like, fuck, let him, who cares?
Right.
You know? So that's what I have to say on that.
Okay. So let's move on to the next topic. So you wanted to talk about Final Fantasy?
Yeah, because 10 came out.
Yeah, so... 10, okay, eight, so I texted you today with the simple question, and you never answered.
I never got that text.
What? That's a fucking lie.
No, I'm looking at my phone right now. Let's see.
You sure?
I am looking at it.
Riveting radio, by the way, or riveting airplay, yeah, by the way, with like people staring at phones and shit.
Yeah, we're looking. Okay, so let me go back to earlier today. I never got anything. I told you about that. I sent you the rant and review, but I never got anything other than okay. That's my time. That's it.
That's really weird. Yeah. Your phone is weird and retarded. Anyways, I asked you if you had played Final Fantasy X HD Remastered.
I have.
Okay. Thoughts?
I have. Okay, so some thoughts. I played about 2 hours, thanks to the Vita version, obviously.
Wow, that is a miracle. Anyways, go ahead.
Yeah, I have played both versions because I own both versions.
Well, you can't just own one. Oh, wait, are you talking about the PS3 and Vita versions?
Yeah, I own both versions.
Jesus fucking Christ. Okay.
Yeah, so I could crossplay that bitch. So I played the first hour and a half, because I actually had some free time yesterday morning on the PS3, and then I played a bit more on the Vita. So okay. Here's my thoughts so far in the game. It's aged well, I think, on the gameplay front. I think on... I like the enhanced models of the main characters, although the NPCs, they kind of said, fuck you, you know?
Yeah.
They're like, let's just enhance Waka and Tidus and the NPCs.
That scene with the Luca goers and they showed up, I'm like, oh dear, oh dude, what happened to your face? Oh, you have a bump. You have a bump for a nose. Oh my god.
Well, here's the hilarious part. You have Waka and Tidus, these well detailed models, and everyone looks like a bunch of squareheads.
Yeah. So that's crazy to me.
It's pretty funny. I actually looked at Final Fantasy X-2 as well. Here's the thing about it. And I have an interesting history with Final Fantasy. And you know this. I did not like Final Fantasy X when I first played.
Mm-hmm.
I played it... I didn't get a PS2 till the summer of 2002. My high school graduation. But my cousin, back in March of 2002, had lent it to me for my birthday. Final Fantasy X. And my buddy lent me Final Fantasy X, and my cousin lent me the PS2. And I played it, and I don't know if it was because I was rushed or whatever, but I got far into the game, and I remember getting stuck into the second Seymour battle, where, you know, at that mount where fucking Kamari's people live and shit. And I just did not, I just did not dig it at the time. I don't know, and it's a bunch of things. A bunch of things happened that year, that week. Or I could have been rushed. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So there you go. Let's fast forward to 2009 when we were doing EPPPG. When that ended, I had my internet shut off due to some financial reasons. But I got all that fixed while I was waiting for it. Instead of playing my Xbox 360, I plugged in my PS2. That previous year, I had been playing a lot of PS2 thanks to you because of Persona 3 and 4, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I was like, let's give Final Fantasy X another shot. And here's the astounding thing. I loved it the second time.
Mm-hmm.
It felt fresher. I had the time to grind. I had the time to enjoy it, to savor the story, everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back into time to 2003 about my history with X-2. At that point, I actually beat X-2 before I beat 10.
Wow.
And I like X-2. Better, but then we go fast forward to yesterday, where I look at both games, and I'm loving the somber, sad feeling of Final Fantasy X, because X is a very sad game.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It has a very sad, kind of somber feel to it. Then you fucking put in X-2, and there's like, rhythm, emotion!
Yeah, it's like, if Final Fantasy X were a person, it would have long, dark, black bangs covering their eyes.
Yep.
You know the reference, right? Emo,
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and then if you play 10-2, it's a very poppy
opposite. Opposite. Sugary, saccharine. I was like, why?
I'm not sure. I am not sure. And it just seems weird because you play that first game, even as far as I am. And, I mean, you know, the thing about those games, about earlier Final Fantasy, I think 10 to 4, going backwards, we're going to go backwards, is those characters had well-developed backstories. And, you know, I was getting to the scene where Waka was talking to Lulu about his brother, and just, you know, it was very somber. Right. And then, like, after that, I saved my game, and then I went to 10-2. I was like, what the fuck? So, but I will say this about 10-2, though. To its credit, I think 10-2, because I played a little bit of it, has a very cool battle system. I think the battle system is a lot of fun in that game. I'll be frank.
See, it's the position, it's relative, right? It's like some sort of relative positioning or something that happens, because people move around and stuff. That's the battle system, right?
No. It's a Return of the Active Time battle system.
Okay.
It kind of played. Okay, you know how like in 10 it played with the mechanic where you could actually switch party members in battle.
Right. That one, it's dress spheres, right? It can switch around.
Yeah, you could. Yeah. It's basically the job system, but you could switch in mid battle. So they kind of played with that dynamic.
And then they brought back the ATB as well.
Yeah. But here's the thing that was unique about that game. Is, and I noticed this when I was playing the little bit that I did, in the first battle, because of the ATB being real-time, you can actually chain combos. So, like, in this first battle, I had Riku and Pain, mm-hmm. and you could kind of chain combos, like, Riku would attack, and then if you timed it right, Pain could attack and chain combos. So that's a pretty cool system.
Yeah, but it still brought back the ATB, which to me, like, you know, the reason why I love the battle system in Final Fantasy X was because it was so snappy. Like, it was just like, okay, here's the order in which your characters are going to attack versus your enemies, and then boom, 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 boom. Right. You just go down the list. You don't have to wait for anything. Sure, it's still the trope of, like, you know, enemies versus, you know, your characters on both sides of the, you know, separate sides of a battlefield, but it went by so fast that it's enjoyable. It almost feels like an action game, you know?
Right. And
you know, and there's a couple of things that they wish that they would have, you know, like kind of have, like, you know, kind of like an impact and kind of say, like, yeah, this monster is weak against this. So, because that was one of the things that I really enjoyed with Persona 4 and Persona 3. Not to say that they need to be, like, you know, they need to be stunned or what have you, but just acknowledge the fact that the enemy is weak against that element.
Right.
You know, in a much more visual, like, striking fashion, so that you know, it kind of helps train people to be like, all right, well, that's what it's weak for. But you know, that's nitpicking at this point. Like, but, you know,
I like both battle systems. I'll admit it. I do. I like ATB. I like what 10 did. If there's any, and I'm not going to get in an argument with you, we'll talk this another day. But if there's one Final Fantasy battle system I despise, that's the one in 12. I hate the battle system in 12. Fucking despise it. I do not like it. I don't like it at all. It's just like, let's hit. You know, that's how it feels to me. I'm like, you know, that's just me, though, I guess. I hated that.
Yeah, you definitely won't enjoy, like, 11 or 14 then, because that's a very similar battle system.
Yeah, I'm not into MMOs anyway.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why I enjoyed the battle system in 13, because it was a variation of the of kind of like the job system in a sense, without flashy costumes, and then the ATB, but that's another story.
You might want to speak up, because again, your mic is super sucky.
Okay, it is super sucky. It could go fuck itself. But anyway, here's the deal. With Final Fantasy 13, we've talked about before, a long time ago, I like the ATB, I like that paradigms are basically kind of a job system type thing. That's just me. But let's get back to a 10, though, okay? What did you think of it?
Of what?
Final Fantasy X HD Remix, because I know you got it.
Yep. I am way ahead of you as far as that game's concerned. I am about 4 hours in.
Oh, okay.
I have played more of this game than you have, which it speaks volumes about like how I really enjoy this game in general. I am playing it as much as I can, believe me. I even brought it to work. Like, and during breaks and stuff, I would play it. Okay. We talked about voice acting before. The voice acting here is very janky. Very janky.
It is.
Titus's voice, oh my god, it's ear grating. It is awful. It is just, like,
here's the thing about whatever you fucking call him, his voice. He sounds very good when he narrates the story because, as you know.
Exactly. Yeah. What the fuck happened? Where did that guy go?
Yeah, look. His voice actor is considered one of the best voice actors out there. Okay?
Is it Johnny right Bosch?
No, James Taylor. He's the voice of like Johnny
James
Test.
Arnold Taylor, basically.
James Arnold Taylor. He voiced Johnny Test. He voiced Obi-Wan in Star Wars: The Clone Wars cartoon, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. He's a very, and I didn't even know that was him. That's how good he did with Obi-Wan.
Mm-hmm.
In sounded very much like a. Like Ewan McGregor, actually, if anything mm-hmm. else. So he was very good at that. However, you know, this was probably one of his first works. So,
here's the thing, right? Here's my suspicion as to why there's a difference in quality. I mean, not all of it is terrible, right? I mean, some of it's very hit or miss. My suspicion is that. You know, the Japanese voice director basically gave them the script and didn't give context as to what the lines are. So, for example, they probably gave them a script and a general idea of what the scene is, but never really properly conveyed, you know, parts of the scene. So that's why sometimes some of the lines are uttered in a very, like, odd manner. Like, sometimes it would be a joyous, you know, kind of, you know, expression, even though there's, like, you know... Like the part where, you know, what do you call this? Yuna is sending off people. Like Titus is like, character is like, what? Blah, 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 blah. Like, that's like the intonation of his voice. I'm like, dude, she is literally sending people to heaven. It's like, this is not the time to be boisterous. And I don't think they got the correct voice direction that they want. Because I think everything about the voice was an afterthought. Because, I mean, if you look at all the scenes,
mm-hmm.
The polygon models, because they're so, like, HD'd out, you can still see them talk even after the voice actors pretty much,
the
you know,
voice syncing's terrible.
Yeah.
it's pretty bad. One thing, though, I will say about Titus is that as the game progresses, though, his voice does clear up like it does in the narration.
Mm-hmm.
I think it starts getting better, if I remember correctly, because this is going off a 4-year playthrough.
Oh, God.
And spoiler alert, oh no, is when his voice starts changing right when Yuna is about to marry Seymour, if you remember that sequence.
Yes, of course. Later.
Yeah, and then afterwards when him and Yuna share their first kiss in the water, that, you know, that very romantic water scene, the voice changes,
mm-hmm.
and it deepens as the character gets more serious.
So he basically is going through puberty throughout the entire game.
But it's mostly YouTube. I'm not gonna use that to justify it, though. it's still, you know, it could have been better in those beginning parts, you know.
Why I kind of hoped, you know, there was a part of me that hoped that they would redo some of the voice acting, because that's what they did with Persona 4 anyway, right? And it's like Persona 4 Golden specifically, and I was kind of disappointed that they're just
game,
porting
right?
it over and stuff.
They revoiced all of Persona 4 again, huh?
Yep.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, all those voice actors there, you know, you have some pretty big names in the voice acting community.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Tara Strong, for God's sake, is in the fucking game. She's one of the biggest voice actors out there.
Tara Strong and the guy who plays,
Marcus Fenix.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in it.
What's his name again? I forgot.
I know who you're talking about too.
But he doesn't just voice like Waka. He voices Kimari as well.
Waka and Kimari.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's pretty interesting. I don't remember who voices Lulu or Aura.
Mm-hmm. Orin was kind of a hit or miss in the beginning, too. It was kind of like,
yeah,
okay. Again, I think... And the thing is, what's interesting to me is you haven't asked me why I'm able to give this game a pass, but I'm not able to give a pass to Zillia.
Yeah, yeah. Why not, Alex? I completely forgot that you stopped playing Zillia because of the voice acting.
Well, okay. Within the first few minutes of Final Fantasy X, and nostalgia aside, it already gave me enough of the story to really invest myself throughout the entire adventure. Within the first 10 minutes of Zillia, that didn't do it. It was like too much mystery in the beginning, and it's like, but give me some element of personality. Okay, the girl is a douchebag and the guy is a dumbass. Okay, that doesn't make them multi-dimensional and multi-layered. But the thing is, with Final Fantasy X, you continue playing the first few minutes, you learn that, you know, like, Titus's, you know, dad was a well-known, like, you know, blitzball player, and there's some resentment towards that. And then you have that beautiful, beautiful narration from, like, you know, the radio station talking about, like, and just kind of reminiscing about Jekt and how awesome of a player he is, and then leading into the current events, you know? That whole first section, janky, you know, voice acting and all, was fucking beautiful.
Well, let's put it this way. Zillia, we'll argue about that another day. I will say this, play Jude. But anyway, let's move on from that. As far as Final Fantasy X goes, though, okay, here's the thing about this game. Final Fantasy X lives in the legacy of the greatest period of that series, okay? Mm-hmm. For me, the greatest period of that series is, I think, 6, 7, 8, 9... and 10, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That is the golden age of that series. Yes, I know a lot of people like 4. There's a reason I'm not including 4. Look, 4 is a great game. I think it has a great story. But then you have 5, which does, you know, it has great gameplay, but not so much of a great story. The story was kind of weird in that game.
Right.
Okay, your main villain was called X-Death. I'm X-Death.
Yeah. Not too imaginative in that department.
You know, but once you hit 6, you know, you had what, like, I think 4 and 5 were like kind of warm ups with what they wanted to do with narrative in this series.
Yeah, 6, and basically, I wrote this on our top 5 that we posted today. That 6, by the way, it was the top 5 sequels of all time.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the top 5. Go check that out, gamerhorizon.com. Yeah, plug.
Yeah.
I mentioned in my top 5 that the reason why Final Fantasy VI exists in that top 5 is not necessarily because it's canonical, that it's a canonical sequel. It is a numbered sequel. But 6 was a direction that Square took to separate jobs and classes from their abilities.
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, instead of having, like, a thief class or a warrior class or a black mage, anybody could be any class.
Yeah.
You just have to basically, you know, equip an Esper, use them a little bit, and then finally they will learn the ability, and it will basically be permanently grafted onto that character.
Yep.
You know, and I felt like there's the metaphor behind that is rather interesting, because in a way, this sort of enhancement was also some sort of weird corruption that was happening to the human body. You know, it's like they're mutating in a way,
and that's implied in that game a lot.
Yeah,
I mean, in fact, it's implied that Kefka's madness was derived from that very point, very same thing you just said.
Yeah,
in the game, Final Fantasy VI, I will say, and I've played it recently. I talked about it a few weeks ago. It still holds up. It's a masterpiece. You will not run into a game like that very often,
and for that matter, everything that you have mentioned. From 6 to 10, they all hold up really well.
Yeah. Now, I want to talk about 8 for a second, because I know there's going to be that group that disagrees with me on 8, okay? You know that.
Yeah.
Because 8's a little bit... 8 is kind of the love 'em, hate 'em one, right? Some people say 9, but I don't think so. I think 9 has its own fan set.
8 was very risky.
Here's the thing about 8. Yeah. Here's the thing about 8. I'll admit... When I was waiting for this game, I beat it. I was a little bit disappointed, but I played it again. And I appreciate it. Here's the deal about 8. 8 was risky in its story and its in its gameplay. I do think drawing does get redundant, but otherwise, I think that that game plays very well. And I think the junction system and assigning, you know, spells to increase your attack or spells to enhance your attack is a brilliant fucking idea.
Mm-hmm.
I just think there could have been another way to do drawing, the way to get spells.
Yeah, I mean, the fact it's so redundant. It's like, oh, come on, really? And there are some, and the weirdest thing, too, is there are some magic spells when you're drawing them that you have to come back there for, like, you know, later on in the game so that they'll replenish.
Yeah.
You know, do you remember those? Like, it's like, oh, it's gone now. You have to come back later. I'm like, really? Really? And, no way.
And there was all those hidden draw points.
Yeah.
Yeah, it had its issues, I'll be honest, okay? It had, that was its key issue, but it didn't break the game by any means.
Yeah, I mean, my whole thing is, it's a very interesting storyline. Like, it really is. It's not, I can't say it's my favorite. I mean, I don't think a lot of people would say it's their favorite, but it tried, it was a continuation of the experimentation that they were doing from 6 and 7. Just really separating the classes with the actual abilities themselves. And this is another elaboration on that. And then, of course, 9, they literally went back to the whole class-based system of, you know, of Final Fantasy IV, you know.
Yeah.
And that was fine. That was on nostalgia's sake. And then they really opened the doors up with 10, which I felt that was fantastic. That was by far, out of all the Final Fantasy games and stuff, as much as I love, you know, 6 and 7, you know, and all the other Final Fantasies, 10 is, bar none, my favorite in terms of gameplay. Like, that
Sphere
battle
Grid
system
is fucking fun.
What's that?
Sphere Grid is fun to fuck with, too.
Oh, absolutely. Like, because you look at the Sphere Grid, and you can kind of tell where all the spells and abilities are. It's like there's a section to make your attacks faster if you want to be more like a thief. There's a section for white magic. There's a section for black magic. There's a section for, you know, I guess blue magic or what have you. There's a section for warriors. It's really flexible. You know, and then when you get into those intersections where you can branch off to two different directions, you're like, okay, so should I make him a lot faster? Should I focus more on strength? It becomes a really interesting question.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, one of the things I love about this game is you are constantly evolving. You don't have to wait until a level up happens because you get one level and you can use that to move around the sphere grid. And you will always learn something when you move around the sphere grid. It's very rare that you don't. You know, and it makes things exciting because you're always like, ooh, I got something new. Let's see what I can do. Or, I just learned a new ability. Let me try that. You know, like, how can I use the battle system and the abilities that I've learned to the fullest ability? And that is the beauty of that battle system and the lack of ATB in conjunction with the sphere grid.
Well, let me tell you this. From my last playthrough, here's one thing I specifically remembered from a gameplay standpoint. My Yuna was a fucking beast. And let me tell you why.
Because
you know what I ended up doing? I ended up mastering all her white magic shit, and then I moved her to Lulu's part of the board.
Whoa.
And I mastered Lulu's part of the board with Yuna. And Yuna actually technically has better magic strength than Lulu does.
Well, what if you swapped her with Lulu? Like, if you put Lulu through the white magic shit?
Well, Lulu seems to have more magic defense than magic power, which is weird, because you would think it would be the opposite. That's what I remember clearly. Now, of course, you could change all of that, but Lulu seems to be more focused on magic defense as opposed to magic power, you know, magic attack.
Right.
In you know, because if you look at their original boards, if you stick to their original boards, Auron's a tank, Tidus is kind of a balance, Waka's kind of an aerial attack type thing, Kamari's kind of your blue mate, you know, that type of thing.
Right.
But once you start moving them on the board, that's when you can start fucking with them. Tidus moved to Auron's part of the board and became a beast himself.
Mm-hmm.
So and then Auron, I moved just for the sake of it to give him more speed to Tidus's side of the board.
Right.
I kind of stopped caring about the other characters, and those three just became beasts that they just stayed in battle the whole time.
I have a feeling what I want to do is I want to balance everybody out this time around, because I kind of get what you're saying, because when you first started playing the game, you had like your A team. you know, you would just stick with them. I actually want to go through the entire game with everybody balanced this time. So,
oh, I see.
Because what I used to do when I first played Final Fantasy X was I would just run after every battle until I get to the boss.
And I realized,
you know, thanks to Persona 3, Persona 4, that, you know what, the battles actually balance out the leveling up and stuff, your abilities. So I was like, all right, well, I'm just going to do that. And I enjoyed the gameplay so much more being older and not running away from those than just running away and not getting, you know, what I want out of it. It is really a great, you know, way to enjoy something that, you know, so many people have, like, you know, worked on and stuff. And it's like, again, this battle system for Final Fantasy, I don't see any future Final Fantasy beating the shit out of this battle system, unless they can provide me with the same kind of visceral kind of, you know, selection process and kind of gameplay as this has. It's going to be difficult.
Well, okay, let's you know it's interesting, we had a nostalgic talk. I wanted to kind of keep the focus on the games between, you know, 10 and 6, right?
Sure.
But I want to talk about something that Square Enix does very well. You and I are probably as critical of Square Enix as we are of, say, BioWare or Nintendo or things like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I have to give Square Enix where Square Enix deserves credit. Square Enix, you know, I wish they would delve into their other properties and bring new ones out, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's a given. But let's be honest here. One thing Square Enix is very, very good at that a lot of companies could learn to, and another company that's very good at this is Atlus, is they're so fucking good at getting enhanced ports of their games. And this is an example of that. I mean, this is probably the definitive version of Final Fantasy X you get. I mean, you know, when they release a port of their game of their older games, you want it. Even of lesser known stuff like, you know, the Star Ocean stuff, First Departure and Second Evolution, those are the definitive versions of those games, especially Star Ocean Second Evolution.
Right.
Chrono Trigger DS, definitive port of that game. Final Fantasy Tactics War of the Lions, definitive port of that game. Why? Because what Square Enix does is they fix many of the flaws prevalent in the original game without breaking the gameplay. For example, like, you know, they fix translation issues, you know, stuff like that. People will argue with me. I like the iOS port of Final Fantasy VI. But Final Fantasy VI is a different thing. I don't know what the definitive port, but it's a good port. So I will say Square Enix is good at making enhanced ports of their game. They're masters at it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you... I mean, even Kingdom Hearts, the HD remix, is very well done as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they're good at ports.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they are good at ports and...
But
I mean,
please, next time, if you do port, like, Final Fantasy X for the PS4, please redo the freaking voice acting. Come on.
Yeah. Well, here's an interesting thing, too. They got the actors back to redub some of the new stuff. So
like
there's an
what?
There's a radio drama that you can listen to.
Hmm.
And you hear, you know, they got Tidus's original voice. He sounds so much better in the radio drama.
Oh my god.
I'm being honest.
That's really pathetic. Anyways.
I agree with you. I would have liked to see that. You know what I would have also liked to see is, and this is something that applies to most other JRPGs, and we talked about this a couple episodes ago, voice language options.
Yeah, well, that one is just not possible for the American version or any version, because the maximum download size for Vita games is 3.7 gig.
Right. So, and we got to consider there's a Vita port 2 of this
I mean, the PS3 director port. Was pretty much quoted in saying that it's because of size limitations, which is why that option is not available.
Right. They could have done it on just the PS3 version, though.
But they don't want any version parity between the two. So they want both of them exactly the same.
Yeah, and I can see that, because they want you to have, you know, cross play and stuff like that. You know, but I understand that completely. I would like to see that in more games, though. Not just Final Fantasy.
Right.
I mean, you know, I'm not one of these elitists that, oh, the Japanese voice acting is always better. In some cases, you get some really good voice act. You know, like the Persona. I wouldn't trade the Persona 4 American dub for the Japanese dub.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. Yeah, yeah, totally. Like, to me, like, the Persona 4 people is pretty much, that is Persona 4 for me. Like, I will not trade those guys for, like, the Japanese version any day of the week.
I mean, you know, you have, like, fucking Troy Baker's in it. I mean, for fuck's sake, so.
I mean, besides that, I mean, they were all terrific voice actors in that game.
Yeah, yeah. And I agree. I mean, it's good stuff, and
yeah,
I wouldn't trade. But Final Fantasy X is another case. But, I mean, are you liking this remake before we move on?
Yeah, absolutely. Or I mean, I wouldn't be playing, like, 4 or 5 hours of this game if I hated it, if I hated the experience. Again, the beauty of X, it doesn't lie with, you know, with the voices and with you know, some of the quirkiness of the cutscenes and whatnot. It's what they're conveying. And the thing is, they do a good enough job to convey those serious moments that you kind of, you know, like, all the idiosyncrasies with, like, the voice acting and the animation and stuff, you kind of just brush that aside. You know, and then you just get really involved with the storytelling and, you know, the mythos of the world, like, you know, and just, you know, this journey. Like, that's what's interesting to me about X, and it has always been interesting to me, is it is a journey. It is a pilgrimage. And I think that is the perfect backdrop that you could ever put, and a great reason to put a whole bunch of people traveling together trying to overcome, you know, impossible odds. That is perfect.
And there's a lot of quiet moments in that game and
very somber stuff like moments that. And stuff. Again, it's you know, it's one of those games where it's like, it really, and like you know, to your words, it really aged well. Except for the voice acting and some of the animation.
Yeah. Look, if you, like I said, we in closing 6 through 10. That is some of the best storytelling you'll see in a video game. If you're some guy who's never touched a Final Fantasy game, 6 through 10, you have some of the best stories ever told. For different reasons.
Right.
Now, mind you, let's be honest. They all end up to being save the world. That's true, right?
Right.
Right. But it's the context that each of those stories are told in. You know, 6 is a steampunk world with a genocidal madman, you know, apocalyptic story, I guess you could call 6, right? 6 would be apocalyptic. Mm-hmm. 7 is sort of this sort of industrial world, you know, its context is environmentalism, that type of thing. 8 would be more about maturity and growing up and that type of thing. It's actually, I would say that's the more angsty one, wouldn't you?
Which one?
Final Fantasy 8? Because they're teenagers?
In a way, yeah. I can see that. I can see that.
Okay. 9 is a traditional fantasy story, that type of thing. But a good one, with a lot of backstory. And then 10 would be kind of your tragedy. I think 10's a tragic game, in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
It's not tragic in the sense that, like, the good guys lose, that type of thing. But it is, the ending is probably one of the most tragic, sad endings in a video game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. And that's why I question the purpose of 10-2, because 10-2 seems to dampen that ending.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. But I gotta say, it's a great re-release, and that's all I gotta say on that. Play 6 through 10 if you've never played a Final Fantasy.
Right.
And 4 is good, too. Don't get me wrong. 4 is good, too. I'm not gonna forget 4.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There you
right,
go.
Right. Cool.
So
let's move on then.
Okay, what's next?
So we have one email from Lewis. His question kind of touches upon something that we talked about earlier in this podcast. So Lewis asks, should Satoru Iwata step down as CEO in order for Nintendo to shape up?
You know what? I think he needs to step down, and I think Reggie needs to step down as well, too.
Whoa. Really?
Let's go back to the Howard Lincoln days. Look how that company was run.
Mm-hmm.
They knew how to run it back in those days correctly. for the time context. They knew the market. They knew how to shape it. They knew how to work it. You need people to understand the market. I don't think Iwata understands the market. Mm-hmm. I don't. He doesn't understand the fucking market. Look, I'll say Nintendo puts out quality product. I'm being a dead horse, but there's just things wrong with that company. When you have your handheld being your prominent fucking thing and your console being the secondary thing, it should be the other way around. Mm-hmm. It's just, there's and it's weird because they have great ideas, but some of them are poorly executed. Nintendo Direct is a brilliant idea, but it's so poorly executed because Iwata is so fucking boring.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god, I can't sit through those things. So, I mean, I like their approach with Nintendo Direct. I like that idea. I just don't like it's this weird idea of them, let's modernize it, but do it half-assed. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Nintendo Direct is a good idea, but poorly done. And Reggie just, he's just some abrasive guy. Oh, I'm outspoken. Good for you, you're fucking outspoken, so am I. But you can't just be outspoken to fucking run a company. So, I mean, he was good for, the GameCube days and the Wii days, but they need somebody else. Because those days are over. That's all I got to say on that.
Mm-hmm.
So, what about you?
Honestly, I'm not sure if that would solve the problem. I think kicking him out is part of the solution, but the thing is, you need to find somebody who has the same kind of ideas that everybody has. I mean, this sounds sucky because Nintendo has been quote-unquote seen as like the innovators. But the thing is, there hasn't really been a true innovation in Nintendo in quite a while. Like, and it's not enough.
The Wii, maybe?
It's not, but that's a fluke. Okay. If the Wii U is anything, it is a proof that the Wii was a fluke. It had a good pack-in game, which is why the console sold millions and millions of units. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
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 And
Nintendo Land is not Wii Sports.
Yep, exactly. It's just not that, And my whole thing is that you need somebody who will court the third parties back into Nintendo. Nintendo needs third parties. This is exactly what killed Sega back in the Dreamcast days. No third-party support. Remember that? Basically, yep. Everybody stopped making games for the Dreamcast other than Sega. Yeah, all the people who thought that Nintendo can survive with Nintendo, tell that to Sega. Look at that console. Tell me I'm wrong.
You're not wrong, and I'll tell you why. Look at the Sega properties. Back in those days, the Sega properties were much in the same limelight as the Nintendo ones, Sonic was in a much higher regard than he is now,
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's the thing, Nintendo properties are household names, but in the industry, that just won't hold up.
Right.
So, and again, I buy Nintendo, and this is the thing, I buy Nintendo for those properties. To play those games. I want a Zelda game. I want a goddamn, and I want a Zelda game. None of this Dynasty Warriors bullshit, mm-hmm. that's coming out. Right. I want a Zelda game. I want a Metroid. I want a Mario game. And I've gotten some of those lately. And I've gotten those on the 3DS. Look, for me, that sells it, but not for everybody. There are people who like Nintendo, but they would also like to play their Call of Duty on there. As much as I despise that piece of shit series, I will say that you are stupid for not courting, Activision there. You need Call of Duty. I hate to say it, but to survive, you need Call of Duty on there. Or Battlefield, or any of the big shooters, right?
Mm-hmm.
You need that.
Yeah.
So that's all I gotta say on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is Nintendo's problem, right, at this point, that they need the third-party support. Like, it is crucial. There was a rumor that went out today that there are two Assassin's Creed games that's going to be released this fall, none of which are coming out for the Wii U. That is terrible. And Ubisoft is like, one of the number one like supporters of Nintendo. On every single Nintendo platform, they are day one right then and there.
That is not good. That is not good at all.
Yeah. So it seems like Nintendo's going to try to fight it by themselves, and I feel that they're, you know, if anything, I think they're going to abandon ship on the Wii U a lot faster than people think. I really feel like that might happen. It'll probably be unprecedented. It might be the first time ever that we would see basically this company say, you know what, we fucked up.
No, not the first time ever.
What do you mean?
Second time. It'll be the second time. You're forgetting the Virtual Boy, my friend.
Well,
yeah, Virtual Boy counts. They ditched that shit quick.
Yeah, but did they replace it with something? I don't think they did.
No, they didn't, but it's this. But still, they abandoned that shit quick.
Yeah.
Virtual Boy, if you really think about it, was to replace the Game Boy, but...
But they can't just, like, roll back to the Wii and pretend like nothing happened.
No.
That's what I'm talking about.
Because
the thing is, with a Virtual Boy, at the very least, the Game Boy was still, like, really, really popular. So even if they did abandon, like, you know, the Virtual Boy, it's like, all right, well, we still got the Game Boy going. Then as far as, like, you know, the Wii U is concerned, they can't just be like, hey, we're making games on the Wii again. Nope. No one's making games for the Wii. None.
I don't even think they're getting digital releases on the Wii.
No, the Wii is dead. The Wii is completely dead.
Yeah.
It wasn't like the Virtual Boy. At all.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. So, anyways, I think that about does it for our mailbag segment. Again, if you have any questions, comments, or requests, or what have you, email us at sociallinkpodcast@gamerhorizon.com. Once again, that's sociallinkpodcast@gamerhorizon.com. And, of course, if you want to see any of the articles that we write on the website, which we have previews, reviews, like the reviews are freaking awesome. They're like well detailed. If you want to know something about the game, we have it there. We also have podcasts other than Social Link. We also have the After Hours podcast with me, Sean, and Ted. Go to our website, gamerhorizon.com. If you follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/gamerhorizon, we will talk to you. We definitely should create a conversation there. It looks like it's automatic, but we get every single reply to that Twitter account. So definitely go to twitter.com/gamerhorizon. And of course, go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/gamerhorizon. We love seeing your comments there. We love seeing your reactions. And of course, that goes back to our website. And, you know, and so everybody is part of the conversation. So... Anthony, do you have any sort of final things to say before we move on and, you know, kind of shut down this episode?
I do not.
Awesome.
I think everything that's been said has been said.
Of course, absolutely. So until next week, we'll see you guys later.